Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Greetings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, the Alpine Avalanche, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Holland, and I'm reading from the Big Bend Sentinel for the week of Sunday, March 22nd. I'm reading on Thursday, March 26th, 2020. Coronavirus. Live updates from the Big Bend Sentinel and Presidio International by Abby Peralt and Stephen Paulson. March 12th, 2020, 4:23 p.m. Last updated 3:26, 2:49 p.m. Tri-County. Precautions over the current coronavirus outbreak, COVID-19, have reached the Big Bend region. In an executive order on Thursday, Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered gyms, schools, and bars to close and restaurants to switch to go service only. The order also imposes visiting restrictions on nursing homes and retirement centers. The rules last through at least April 3rd. The city of Marfa has opened the closure of hotels, short-term rentals like Airbnbs and RV parks beginning Monday, 3/23. The city has restricted gatherings of more than 10 people and will not carry out utility cutoffs due to overdue bills. Local governments, medical professionals, and business in the Tri-County area are rapidly adjusting their operations in preparation for the virus and in hopes of preventing its arrival in the Big Bend area. The Big Bend Sentinel and Presidio International is working to bring the most up-to-date news on medical information, school closures, and other vital updates regarding this evolving situation. According to the latest state figures on Thursday, March 26, there are no known cases of coronavirus in the Tri-County region. There are 21 known cases in El Paso, 4 in Midland, and 1 in Crane. 18 Texans have died from coronavirus. 1,396 Texans are known to have the virus. And around 21,424 people in the state have been tested. We are staying in regular contact with health authorities, schools, businesses, and other officials, and will update if and when this changes with timestamps for time-sensitive updates. Timely updates, 3:26. 3:26, 2:49 p.m. Governor Greg Abbott on Thursday issued an executive order requiring people to self-quarantine for 14 days or for the duration of their time in Texas if they are here for less than 14 days. If they are arriving in Texas via plane from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, or New Orleans. 3:26, 2:20 p.m. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has granted funds to community health facilities to combat COVID-19, including $59,733 to preventative care health services in Marfa. 3:26, 1:05 p.m. Fort Davis National Historic Site is modifying operations in response to coronavirus. The visitors center, restrooms, and historic buildings are closed, and gatherings of more than 10 people are suspended. The site will also limit staff interactions with the public. Grounds and traffic remain open, and entry fees are waived for visitors. 3:25, 2:03 p.m. President Donald Trump on Wednesday granted a major disaster declaration for Texas. The move will speed our ability to robustly respond to coronavirus, Governor Greg Abbott said on social media. As states across the country enact a stay-at-home policy for residents, Texas has thus far held off, with the governor determining that the action is not necessary for all parts of Texas. Meanwhile, Local jurisdictions are taking actions into their own hands. Austin, San Antonio, and Dallas have stay-at-home orders, and Harris County, home of Houston, ordered non-essential workers to stay home, beginning at midnight tonight. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, on Monday, 3/23, ordered all abortions in Texas to stop through at least April 21 unless the mother's life is in danger. The move comes after Governor Greg Abbott ordered a halt on all medical operations deemed not medically necessary. Here's what else we know so far. You can also use the links below to skip to the relevant section. Presidio Disrupted as U.S.-Mexico Closed Their Border by Stefan Paulson, March 25, 2020, 4:47 p.m. Presidio. On Friday, the United States and Mexico announced they'd agreed to limit international travel across their shared border through at least April 20th to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. It followed a similar agreement between the U.S. and Canada, which also closed their border to most travel on Friday. In Presidio, the closed border is more than an obstruction. Overnight, families were separated from each other and people from their jobs, and the hum of cross-border travel mostly ground to a halt. Take Ojinaga resident Molly Ferguson. She works at a school in Presidio and has families on both sides of the border, including a husband in Mexico and her father. Presidio Mayor John Ferguson in the United States. "My husband is over here," she said in a phone interview from Ojinaga. "It really doesn't make any sense to be stuck in Presidio." "Still," she said, "the tightened restrictions are kind of overwhelming." As a U.S. citizen, Ferguson can still get across the border if she needs to. Border officials are discouraging all non-essential travel. But after years of tightened restrictions along the southern border under President Donald Trump, including adding a secondary checkpoint in the middle of the international bridge, the restrictions, however necessary, feel like another painful wedge in the community. Her father, Mayor John Ferguson, often talks about Presidio and Ojinaga as one city divided by a border. And there's truth to that. Ojinaga has ample clinics and restaurants and a large grocery store, while the United States offers consumer retail, especially in El Paso, and access to public services like the post office. Now, the two countries and cities are more divided than ever, separated not by politics, but by a deadly new disease. With Texas schools closed by order of Governor Greg Abbott, Molly Ferguson doesn't have to worry about getting to work. "I'm assuming folks are going to work from home anyway," she said, though she isn't sure exactly what that will look like for a music teacher like her. Still, she is used to crossing regularly, whether to run errands at the bank or the post office or just to visit with friends and family, and her husband, who was in the process of getting his U.S. visa, is now waiting indefinitely. She worries about when she will get to see her father again and about the possibility of more restrictions. "Hopefully I'm being overdramatic," she said. She noted that other people could be more affected by the rules, including a Mexican friend who'd recently had a baby in El Paso. "That's a complicated situation," she said. U.S. Customs and Border Protection, which is tasked with implementing many of these new coronavirus-related travel restrictions, has emphasized that the U.S. is still open for business. "The border is not closed," Greg Davis, a spokesman from the agency, said. "Rather," he said, "the border has been basically transitioned to essential travel and trade only." "Agents at the border," he said, "have some discretion in deciding who gets across, tourism and cross-border shopping trips are definitely not allowed. But trade is still open, and crossing for healthcare or family emergencies is okay. He emphasized that Ferguson, as a U.S. citizen, can still cross into Presidio, but the hope is to stop travel, he added. Going back and forth is not necessarily a good idea. John Ferguson, Molly's father, and the mayor of Presidio sees the new border guidelines as something like the canceling of events and closure of bars, another necessary but painful step to halt the spread of a deadly disease. I have friends that cross on almost a daily basis that are disappointed, he said. But I think most people understand why it's closing. Rather than freaking out about the news, he said, Presidio and Ojinaga are asking themselves practical and logistical questions about the new rules. Questions like, should I go to work on Monday? Asked about his daughter, Ferguson acknowledged he feels sadness that maybe we'll be separated for a month or more. But he stressed that worries like that don't stop the international border. His son, he pointed out, lives in Dallas. Ferguson doesn't know when he'll see him, either. Whether it's an international boundary or just distance that separates us in the same country. That's just going to be how we live through this crisis, he said. We're good, he said of Presidio. We're ready to take this challenge on and try to take the right thing. Coronavirus and the new rules imposed to try to slow its spread have caused other ripple effects across the economy and government, on everything from immigration to tourism. Davis, the CBP spokesman, said that the agency now allows agents to adjudicate some cases in the field at initial counter, effectively fast-tracking deportations. And in a social media post, Matthew Hudak, chief patrol agent for the Big Bend sector of Border Patrol, said that undocumented migrants are being immediately removed from the country to stop potential pandemic threats. And while the U.S. has stressed that trade with Mexico remains open, cross-border traders in Presidio nonetheless worry about the prospect of decreased commerce, either because of more restrictions or because factories and other businesses that supplied imports and exports are also shutting down. It would impact us in a huge way, Isela Nunez, a former Presidio city council member and a broker in Presidio, said last week before the restrictions went into place. It would impact us the way that it is impacting a lot of people that are closed down for whatever reason. But Nunez couldn't talk for long. She had a shipment of cattle to process, as brokers on both sides of the border grappled with economic and political uncertainty. There had been a rush of last-minute orders. Jose Pepe Acosta, another Presidio broker, also worries about the sudden changes and what they would mean. I've been working since the Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, opened, since I was 14 or 15, he said. This is the first time since I was born that I know of that the border is going to close. Acosta, who largely works with vehicle and machinery imports and exports, said his business hasn't yet slowed down, and at least for a while, he could continue working on import/export paperwork. I can do them online anywhere, he said. I can do them in my house if I still have internet. But with movement restricted across the border, he predicts he will eventually need to hire U.S. workers to inspect VIN numbers if Mexican workers can't make it across. I need more help. I need to train people, he said. And it's not an easy job to train. As a sign of how broadly coronavirus has affected the economy, Acosta is just as worried, and maybe even more so, about his other businesses. He'd been planning for months to start doing contract work for the post office. Now, He doesn't know where that plan stands or if he'll be able to find workers. He also worried about El Chongarito, the restaurant he runs with his wife. Business is way down, he said. Not least because fewer tourists are coming to visit Big Bend Ranch State Park. My customers mostly are tourists, he said. He wonders if he can find people with food handling permits if he needs them. And when his wife went to purchase eggs the other day, she waited for half an hour only to learn that there was a 24 egg limit on purchases. These days, he says, his customers are mostly Border Patrol agents. The other day, one asked him, "Are you going to close?" Acosta wasn't quite sure how to answer. I said, "It depends on if my supplier keeps supplying me."
Hello, this is Melanie, and I'm reading from the Big Bend Sentinel for the week of Sunday, March 22nd. I'm reading on Thursday, March 26th, 2020. Citizens of Earth Would Question Borders, Identities in Marfa, by Abby Perel, March 25th, 2020. Marfa. Mark Thorpe arrived in Marfa after a long drive from New York in December. The architect, designer, and artist was visiting for the first time, but falling in love with Marfa is what inspired me to do something there, he said. The creative has proposed an ambitious permanent art installation called Citizens of Earth that intends to question the value of international borders within the context of the 21st century, according to Thorpe's website. When his car approached West Texas, he laid eyes on a hovering outline of something in the distance. Approaching Prada Marfa, Thorpe said, I was thinking, is that a UFO? He soon realized he was seeing Border Patrol's aerostat, a surveillance blimp from the U.S.-Mexico border. It was a culminating moment for the artist, being in the desert and seeing the surveillance blimp that looked like a UFO. He remembered a quote from Ronald Reagan. Reagan starts talking about an alien invasion as what would unify the planet and what would make us all one civilization to put aside our differences. For Thorpe, it was all flashing at one moment in the desert. He devised a flying saucer-inspired disc that would loom above the far west Texas desert landscape. Perhaps made of stainless steel, the piece would reflect light and the land, diffusing the whole notion of borders, he explained. He hopes to place it 20 miles from Marfa, as close to the border as possible. For Thorpe, the border is an outdated concept that doesn't take into account the way the world is today. If you spend a lot of time traveling around the world, you feel alien everywhere you go. If everyone's moving around, we are all basically aliens to each other all the time. It kind of zeroes itself out and says, we're all just here. Thorpe references Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk shooting rockets into space with these ultimate utopian visions of outer space. If humans colonize other planets, Thorpe believes specific identities like country of origin will become less relevant. Where are you from? I'm from Earth. Versus getting into the minutiae of what neighborhood you're from or what country you're from. You're citizens of Earth, and that's it, he said. The site-specific art would be temporal, changing based on the time, day, weather, and angle from which it is viewed. To be honest, it's really more of a gesture to Marfa and Donald Judd and the minimalists and the bigger story. For now, the work is just conceptual, though Thorpe is seeking funding opportunities and wants to begin looking into where the installation could be placed. According to Thorpe's Citizens of Earth missive, the socio-political rationalization for borders drawn on the earth have proven throughout history to be problematic. War, poverty, famine, disease, political and economic instability, terrorism, environmental degradation, racism, genocide, and much more are all byproducts of the ceaseless reinforcement of borders. Amid pandemic, ranchers should be on high alert. by Big Ben Sentinel, March 25th, 2020. Texas. As precautions for the coronavirus pandemic start to disrupt daily life across the United States, the Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raisers Association warns that theft and scams targeting ranchers and cattlemen are on the rise too. With the coronavirus disrupting trade across the globe, the pandemic's impact on the cattle market has been dramatic already. But that's not the only threat to the rancher's livelihood, according to Scott Williamson, Executive Director of Law Enforcement, Brandon Inspection Services for TSCRA. Economic and industry distress always increases the number of desperate people that will take fraudulent, dishonorable, and criminal actions, he said. That desperation works both ways, with more people turning to theft and deception to make ends meet, and more people buying or selling in a panic state that may have clouded their judgment. Williamson is already seeing these scams in action. Earlier this week, he received a call about one. A cattleman had purchased a truckload of cows, but the seller had misrepresented aspects of the purchase. But by the time the truck arrived, the cattleman had already wired money. This gets especially dangerous because your perception or agreements over the phone do not likely predicate a criminal charge or investigation, Williamson said. You may feel like you need to get in a hurry to sell some cattle before it gets worse, or get in a hurry to buy while the prices are low, Williamson said. But please slow down and be prudent, because con men and thieves are taking advantage of this situation. Such advice is especially important when buying or selling over the internet, he said. Be extremely wary, he said, of online transactions. Be sure you have some way to absolutely confirm who that person is. My suggestion is, don't do any business without being able to tangibly lay your eyes on it or meet someone. I know that seems like overkill to some people, but you just can't be too careful. Williamson offers the following tips for avoiding fraud. Verify with a trusted source the person you are attempting to do business with. When selling items, consider payment options such as an escrow service or an online payment system. Never accept a check or cashier's check for more than the value of the sale. Confirm checks are valid by contacting your bank or the issuing bank. When buying items, never issue a payment until the items are received unless you have complete trust in the seller. Always inspect and document livestock or items before taking delivery, and remember, you have the right to refuse delivery. If you believe you are a victim of a bait-and-switch purchase, act quickly. The more time that lapses, the more it appears that you were initially agreeable to the transaction and the ability to remedy the problem erodes. To prevent theft, Williamson advises ranchers to display a TSCRA member sign on gates and entrances. It is a proven deterrent. Lock gates. Brand cattle and horses, making sure the brand is recorded with the county clerk. Put a driver's license number on all saddles, tack, and equipment. Videotape horses and tack. Keep complete and accurate descriptions on file. Establish an organized, easy-to-find proof of ownership file to save valuable time in the recovery process. Count cattle regularly. Don't establish a routine when feeding. Vary the times you feed. Be cautious about who gets keys and combinations. If possible, park trailers and equipment where they are out of view from the roadway. Keep tack rooms and saddle compartments on trailers locked. Don't feed in pens. Participate in neighborhood watch programs. Don't build pens close to a roadway. Never leave keys in tractors or other equipment. Taking precautions like these doesn't mean panicking, Williamson said. Cattle raisers have weathered a lot of storms over the years and will weather this one too, he said. But in the meantime, be extra careful. Border authorities warn of fake cleaning products by Stephen Paulson, March 25th, 2020. Far West Texas. U.S. Customs and Border Protection is warning the public about fake cleaning products after the agency says it seized fake Clorox and other counterfeit cleaning supplies in El Paso. The bust happened last week at the Bridge of the Americas. Agents were working on the commercial import facility when a driver arrived with a manifest showing he was transporting cleaning products and toilet paper. While inspecting the vehicle, agents found hundreds of boxes of cleaning supplies, including 168 boxes of Clorox bleach, 98 boxes of Pine Sol cleaner, and 20 boxes of toilet paper. The agents, although, were suspicious. They noticed that many of the bottles had no safety seals and appeared to have been tampered with. CBP stated in a news release, "Meanwhile, the bleach-based cleaners lacked the familiar bleach scent." Initial testing of the products by agents, as well as secondary testing by a CBP laboratory, confirmed that the primary ingredient in many of the products was only water, the agency said. The Clorox company also told border authorities that its Spanish label products were not permitted for sale in the United States. The products were seized, and an investigation is ongoing. The driver has not yet been arrested pending that investigation, a CBP spokesman said. Hector Mancha, director of field operations for CBP El Paso, condemned the sale of false cleaning products during a global pandemic. "In the current environment, it is reprehensible that someone would attempt a scheme like this to prey upon the concerns and fears of our community, likely for financial gain," he said in a statement. "Our officers remain focused and attentive to all threats they may encounter." In a news release on the incident, CBP put it even more succinctly. "Smuggling can be a dirty business," the agency said, "even when it involves cleaning supplies." Commissioners close hotels until April 3rd in digital meeting. By Abby Perot. Presidio County. Presidio County Judge Cinderella Guevara welcomed residents and officials on Monday to the county's first ever digital commissioner's court. A self-quarantined commissioner, Brenda Bentley, joined the call from her home, while commissioners Buddy Knight, Eloy Aranda, and Jose Capizuela appeared on screen with Judge Guevara from the county annex in Presidio, sitting feet apart to keep their distance during the looming threat of coronavirus. Commissioners voted unanimously to keep hotels, short-term rentals on RV parks, closed until April 3rd, an effort that Presidio County, Brewster County, and Jeff Davis County have decided to take on together. "We are now finding the true meaning of viral, and it's even faster than we can imagine," Guevara told commissioners at the top of the meeting. Last week, Guevara announced a local disaster in Presidio County, opening the county up for certain disaster funding, while also expanding the executive powers of the judge. Jeff Davis and Brewster County judges Kareth Sproul Hurley and Eleazar Cano did the same. "Cooperating together, we've all decided to stay in pursuit of stopping the spread of the virus, not only to be concerned with our town, but with the whole area," Guevara said. During the meeting, Presidio EMS Director Melinda Richardson, who joined the online video conference call through the application Zoom, told commissioners that after speaking with hospital staff, "The current containment strategy is helping, but we probably need to be more proactive to flatten the curve." Flattening the curve is the idea that by slowing the spread of the coronavirus through cleanliness and avoiding social contact, the hospitals are less likely to be flooded with patients all at once. With a 25-bed hospital and only two ventilators, Big Bend Regional Medical Center could quickly be overwhelmed if coronavirus goes viral in the Big Bend. In Italy, the curve was not flattened, and many hospitals were forced to deny care to people infected with the virus, simply because there was no equipment or workers to care for them. The commissioners skipped their usual business to allow dialed-in residents to speak about the coronavirus emergency declaration. Flavin Judd, calling from New York, warned commissioners they were in a privileged position to be able to make decisions before the virus had arrived. New York has rocketed to over 26,000 cases this week. I want to encourage my friends and family in Presidio County to do more than the states are telling you because they are not doing enough, he said. The Tri-Counties are the first Texas localities to order hotel closures. Thus far, Governor Greg Abbott has taken a conservative approach to limiting activities, deferring to local officials to make decisions limiting schools, restaurants, bars, and gatherings, only to later announce restrictions from the state. The hotel closures proposed exempted guests who had established the rental unit as their primary place of residence, such as any hotel staff living on premise or full-time RV park residents. County Attorney Rod Ponton told commissioners he spoke with Justin Braille from the Texas Hotel and Lodging Association, a hotel lobbying group. He believed hotels are essential critical infrastructure, that those using hotels or RV parks as primary residences would have to leave, and that when people become sick, they should be using hotels to quarantine themselves. Ponton told commissioners, on the one hand, you may think, wow, we're being safer than anyone else. On the other hand, you could look at it as if we're beyond what the federal government allows and beyond what the state government allows. He warned against going too far. As officials discussed, a new facet of Commissioner's Court emerged, unique to the newly online platform of meetings. Attendees, normally silent unless called on to speak or ask questions during an agenda item, were conversing in the Zoom comments section. Residents sounded off, and while the commissioners in Presidio didn't see all of the conversation, Bentley was reading comments and replying to the audience in Zoom, and resident Shelley Bernstein read some aloud to commissioners. From Judge David Beebe to everyone, established primary residences are exempted in judge's decree. Whom is Pontom representing here? From Flavid Judd to everyone. If you keep hotels to public, you will get an influx of virus-bearing visitors. From Brentla Bentley to everyone. I don't want to take my exposure to those serving in hotels. It isn't right to take my medical illness to them. Judge Guevara clarified that she had the power to order hotels to reopen for other uses. As Ponton and others expressed, that lodging could be necessary if the county needs more emergency responders, nurses, or infrastructure, if coronavirus overwhelmed the hospital completely. Bernstein pointed out to commissioners that while no counties in Texas had closed hotels yet, Miami-Dade County had ordered hotels to close this week because of Miami's status as a popular tourist destination. From Melinda Richardson to everyone, I am concerned that keeping hotels completely open will attract people from areas with higher infection rates and contribute to spread of the disease to our communities. The government's actions are taking private property. Do we want to get sued for closing beyond what's allowed by the federal and state government? Ponton asked. From Neil Chavigny to everyone. Counties sometimes get sued for doing the right thing. That is the cost of doing business. From Brenda Bentley to everyone. I agree, Neil. If we can prevent one death, we've done the right thing at any cost. From Judge Beebe to everyone. The hotel motel lobbying group should not determine what we do as an independent governing body, ever. Bentley turned on her microphone and told her fellow commissioners, I think risking a lawsuit here is worth it. If we can say one person, we can't afford to go there. We can't. I know that it's hard to take this on, but we've got to do it now or never. Aranda added, I think our responsibility is the people of Presidio County. County Emergency Management Coordinator Gary Mitch agreed, saying, I think we would be fools to consider financial gain over human lives at this point. I think it's going to hurt all of us financially in the county. But I think at this stage of the game, it's foolish to even consider financial gain right now when we're talking potential of human lives in Presidio County. Guevara said she wanted to close the hotels because she was observing in the past 2 weeks how many tourists there were in Marfa, no matter what. As bad as things were getting, there were still many tourists. This is going to hurt the hotels and all the industry, Guevara told commissioners. But if we just do it for a short period of time, it will be a way to corral the virus out. This virus is not like anything else before, ever, ever, ever before. It's coming here. Our priority should be, what are we going to do to get ready for that? Guevara said. There's a lot to do. We have to picture the worst scenario. Guevara asked, our next and only concern is what are we doing next? The worst is coming. We need to get prepared for the worst. From Flavin Judd to everyone, Alpine has two ventilators. El Paso, not that much more. They will all be full within weeks. Let's take the first step to do it, Commissioner Aranda said. Bentley motioned to approve the emergency declaration. Cabezuela seconded, and the motion carried unanimously. By Tuesday, J.P. Bryan, owner of the Gage Hotel in Marathon, had filed a lawsuit against neighboring Brewster County for its closure of hotels. Education. Coronavirus concerns prompt school closures, e-learning in Presidio and beyond. By Stephen Paulson, March 18, 2020, 5:57 p.m. Tri-County. As concerns over coronavirus reached the Big Bend last week, schools across the region extended spring breaks, canceled events, and modified their teaching practices. For students in the 2019-2020 school year, the Texas Education Agency has waived requirements for STAR testing. Federal and state authorities are working to ensure that low-income students still get no-cost lunches like this amid school closures. Among other actions, the Texas Department of Agriculture requested and the USDA approved a waiver suspending rules requiring that school children eat lunches in a group setting. In Presidio City, Presidio ISD is on spring break this week. Students are set to return to school on Monday, March 23rd, and school officials there have not yet said what their plans are. The Big Bend Sentinel, Presidio International, will provide more updates in Presidio as we get them. Since Thursday, the Big Bend Sentinel, Presidio International, has been working overtime to bring readers time-sensitive updates on issues like this, and we'll provide updates as soon as we hear from Presidio ISD. Those updates are available on our live web pages. Readers can also find a link to coverage at the top of our webpage, www.bigbendsentinel.com. The closures are already impacting extracurriculars. The University Interscholastic League has canceled two upcoming events, the UIL CX Debate State Tournament and the UIL State Robotics First Tech Challenge until final notice. At the university level, Sul Ross State University is also experiencing disruptions. The school last week canceled in-person instruction through at least April 12th. Then, on Monday, University President Bill Kibler said the school would likely have no face-to-face classes for the remainder of the semester. Instead, the school said it would switch to remote learning options like Zoom video conferencing, conference calls, email, and chat rooms. The school, which was set to return to classes last Monday, March 16th, also extended spring break for an extra week. The school is authorizing emergency paid leave for various categories of employees, including student workers, department heads, including directors, department chairs, and above, were asked to report to work to strategize plans for remote course delivery and business operations. All upcoming university events, including the Alumni Gala, Trappings of Texas, Honors Convocation, Sully Showcase, Scholars Luncheon, Alumni Ring Ceremony, and the May 2020 commencement exercises in Alpine and Eagle Pass are canceled until further notice. President Bill Kibler said on Monday, the dining hall is discontinuing self-service and will instead offer to-go meals to on-campus students who will not be allowed to gather in the dining hall. The cancellations are extending to sports as well. The American and Southwest Conference is canceling all athletic championships and competitions for the remainder of the academic year. The cancellations will affect competitions for baseball, golf, softball, tennis, and outdoor track and field, the organization said Friday. Institutions like colleges will set their own rules regarding non-traditional practices and competitions for cross-country, football, soccer, and volleyball, the AASC said. On Monday, Keebler also asked students to self-quarantine for 14 days if they've been through any of the following airports in the past week: John F. Kennedy International Airport, JFK in New York, Chicago or O'Hare International Airport in Illinois, San Francisco International Airport in California, Seattle-Tacoma International Airport in Washington, Daniel K. Inouye Airport in Hawaii, Los Angeles International Airport in California, Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport in Georgia, Washington Dulles International Airport in Virginia, Newark Liberty International Airport in New Jersey, Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport in Texas, Detroit Metropolitan Airport in Michigan, Boston Logan International Airport in Massachusetts, and Miami International Airport in Florida. State Officials Talk Coronavirus in Q&A with Texans by Stephen Paulson, March 25th, 2020. Texas. Texas Governor Greg Abbott held a televised Q&A with Texans in response to the coronavirus last Thursday. Also present were key members of his staff from Texas Department of State Health Services Commissioner John Hellerstedt to Texas Education Agency Commissioner Mike Morath. Appearing on an ABC affiliate, the officials answered questions on everything from coronavirus testing to school closures. But Abbott remained vague about what the state planned to do to help businesses and employees who have already seen economic impacts from coronavirus. And when asked what they were doing to ensure Texans who don't have insurance can get care, a top state official said that broader health coverage wouldn't resolve the immediate issue of the deadly new disease. Around 5 million Texans, about 18% of the state, don't have health insurance, in part due to Texas' decision not to expand Medicaid in the wake of the Affordable Care Act. "I know many of you are scared," Abbott said at the start of his address. "Maybe concerned, maybe confused. You deserve answers." Describing coronavirus as an invisible danger, he compared the pandemic to other disasters that have hit the state in recent years, including Hurricane Harvey, which saw roadways in and around Houston turned into riverways. "Together, we will make it through the coronavirus also," he said. He said Texas was ready in January before the first Texas coronavirus case in March, a markedly different message from the one in a letter he sent to President Donald Trump on Monday, in which he said Texas was low on medical supplies and stressed that resources of the federal government are needed. Still, he noted that Texas had 5 deaths from coronavirus, up from 3 earlier that day. As of press time, there were at least 11 deaths in Texas, according to state figures. "Facts like that show how fast this can move," he said of the virus. Abbott said Texas was focusing on testing and hoped to do 15,000 to 20,000 coronavirus tests per week, a goal that is far off from today. At press time, a little over 13,000 Texans in total have been tested for coronavirus. John Hellerstedt, commissioner for the DSHS, likewise said that the statewide testing process was pretty efficient. Once a lab got a coronavirus sample, it could produce results in 48 to 72 hours, he said. But many of those labs are now experiencing a backlog. On childcare and education, Mike Morath, commissioner for the TEA, said that students would absolutely be able to advance grades even without STAR testing, which was waived earlier this month. "Decisions on grade advancements would be decided at the school level," he said. When asked whether schools could reopen before the end of the regular school year in May, Morath said he didn't know. "We need to wait and see how the spread of the virus unfolds," he said. Texas schools had already set up over 1,000 meal pickup locations, and there would be a huge number of more locations in the coming days, he said. Governor Greg Abbott said Texas was looking into childcare options and that he was urging childcare centers to stay open, but to make sure there are heightened standards for cleanliness and safety. Abbott also offered reassuring words on food security. He said he was in constant contact with grocers and other food retailers and that they were stocked and ready to go. After speaking to CEOs of grocery stores and other food businesses, he said he was very confident about their supply chains, and he promised a very aggressive response to complaints of price gouging throughout the crisis. On the economy and healthcare, though, the officials were left less forthcoming. Asked if Texas would defer sales taxes, Abbott said they would consider it. Asked about workers and employers who were feeling an economic pinch from coronavirus, he said there were multiple pathways at the federal level that could help people get aid. When a salon owner asked about people who are worried about rent and other expenses, Abbott replied that the type of business she's in has not been shut down yet. Salons have not been shut down yet, he said. She should still be able to earn money. He stressed that business owners should apply for disaster loans from the Small Business Administration, but acknowledged that that particular individual would likely not qualify. When a citizen pointed out that Texas had consistently denied a Medicaid expansion and asked about the high rates of uninsured residents, Texas Medicaid Director Stephanie Muth jumped in. It's really important to remember this is a public health crisis, Muth said. Access to health insurance isn't going to resolve the immediate issue we need to focus on. But politicians in Texas and beyond are mulling the conflict of combating coronavirus versus the economic slowdown that's resulting. President Donald Trump tweeted that we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself. Then on Monday, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick appeared on Fox News to propose that we can get back to work. At that point, restrictions on Texas businesses had been in place for less than a week. Patrick told Fox News host Tucker Carlson that grandparents, like himself, should be willing to accept the risk of death if it meant keeping the economic engine running. Testing shortages hamper coronavirus response in Big Bend and beyond. I would say I'm 60 to 70% confident that I have coronavirus, said one Alpine resident. By Stephen Paulson, March 25th, 2020. Alpine. Dennis Foley suspects he might have coronavirus. Earlier this month, the 64-year-old Alpine resident and his wife returned from a family trip to Colorado, which has seen community spread of the virus. I would say I'm 60 to 70% confident that I have coronavirus, said Foley, a self-described science nerd. He says he's had the trademark symptoms, a high fever, and a dry cough. When the Foleys returned to Alpine on March 15th, local health officials at Big Bend Regional Medical Center were already advising anyone coming from Colorado or other coronavirus hotspots in the United States to self-quarantine. As a precaution, the Foleys did just that. And then Dennis's symptoms started, and the couple decided to call their healthcare provider. The doctor told them to keep self-quarantining, not to come in for a test. Foley, for what it's worth, didn't really want to be tested. My preference, just personally, is to stay away from the medical industrial complex, if at all possible, he said. But as a statistics enthusiast, he was still surprised that local doctors weren't more curious to learn his results. If they asked me to come get tested, I probably would have, just out of statistical curiosity, he said. And without more widespread testing in Texas and the Tri-Country region, he worries, we're not really going to understand what's happening accurately. As coronavirus spreads across the United States, causing deaths from New York to Houston, the Big Bend region and Texas have so far been spared the worst. But just like in the rest of the country, a lack of available tests is already hampering response efforts. While President Trump has promised that anyone who wants a coronavirus test can get one, health workers in the Big Bend and beyond admit they're having to choose who gets tested. And stories like that of the Foleys, of people who think they have the virus but can't confirm it, are already trickling out. Without a better grasp on coronavirus cases nationwide, health officials at the state and federal levels have imposed sweeping rules on everyone. From shutting bars to encouraging people to practice social distancing. But advice like that might only help so much. Figures from countries with more robust testing, like South Korea and Iceland, show that up to 50% of coronavirus patients don't have symptoms, but can nonetheless spread the disease. Meanwhile, countries that have, at least first, focused testing efforts on severe or symptomatic patients, like Italy, have seen their cases balloon and their medical system overwhelmed. The Trump administration has promised for weeks to ramp up coronavirus testing, but in the meantime, doctors in the Big Bend region have to make tough choices about who gets one. John Ray, a doctor at Preventative Care Health Services, which runs medical clinics in Presidio and Brewster counties, was blunt about the reality of who's getting tested. The clinic, he says, is saving tests for people who are basically sick enough to be hospitalized. It's not really an ideal situation, he said. We're just trying to be careful with what test kits we have. To qualify for a corona test, Texas residents typically must get a referral from their primary care physician. When a patient calls Preventative Care Health Services, the clinic goes through a screening process with them. The clinic then decides on a case-by-case basis who should get testing, Ray said. At a Presidio City Council meeting earlier this month, representatives from Preventative Care Health Services said that they have 5 tests at each of their 3 clinics for a total of 15 tests in Presidio, Marfa, and Alpine. Doctors can take swabs from patients and send them to a number of labs for testing, including at least 2 private labs, which sometimes send back a refill of tests, or a state-run lab, which doesn't. Ray estimates that they've run a handful of tests, but couldn't provide detailed figures on how many tests have been run at PCHS or across the region. I'm not sure there's a clearinghouse for that information, he said. Asked about its protocol for determining who gets a coronavirus test, the Big Bend Regional Medical Center said it was evaluating patients on a case-by-case basis and following testing guidelines set by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC has recommended limiting tests to certain cases, including healthcare workers and hospitalized patients with coronavirus symptoms, though the health agency now also encourages clinicians to use their judgment. In an interview last week, Ruth Hook, a spokesperson for the hospital, said BBRMC was first testing people with symptoms for the flu and then testing them for coronavirus if the test came back negative. In a follow-up teleconference with reporters, Ekta Escobar, a doctor at the health center, acknowledged that clinicians would like to have more testing capabilities, but she said the hospital's practice of first testing people for the flu was backed by science, which showed that less than 2% of coronavirus patients worldwide have co-infection with another illness, like the flu. So far, through BBRMC, has declined to release information on how many tests it's run. They've cited privacy rules in HIPAA, the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. We're ensuring that we are following HIPAA and patient privacy laws, Escobar said at the teleconference when asked about local testing figures. The hospital says its small patient base makes it difficult or impossible to release testing figures without violating patient privacy. And there is some truth to that, said Rolf Lowe, a healthcare privacy lawyer. Though BBRMC could theoretically release testing figures without violating privacy, it would put them in a gray area, he said. The hospital is going to rely on HIPAA day in and day out until they get a court order making them release that information, he said. Lowe gave an example. A man gets bitten by a shark, a rare occurrence, and his name and photo make it into the local paper. The local hospital can't talk about how it treats shark bite victims, because one man was already publicly identified as a shark bite victim. One exception, Lowe said, would be if the hospital asked for patients' consent to disclose their coronavirus testing status. But they're not asking for consent, he said. I can tell you that right now. Health providers haven't wanted to do that. Like much of the country, Texas is now releasing its own regular updates on coronavirus statistics, thanks to figures published daily by the Texas Department of State Health Services. The Big Bend Sentinel can report that, at press time on Wednesday, 13,235 people Texans have been tested for coronavirus, while 974 people are confirmed to have it and 12 have died. So far, Texas officials have been reticent to release information on where people have been tested. In a state as sprawling as Texas, that's made it tricky for residents to know how much of a risk they face in their area. And these state-released numbers lag behind case tracking done by Johns Hopkins University, which was the site BBRMC CEO Rick Flores recommended to county commissioners and the press earlier this month. Take the Tri-County, for example. State and local officials have for days stressed that there are still no known cases of coronavirus in Presidio, Brewster, or Jeff Davis counties. But without more information on how many tests have been done locally, it's hard to know what to make of that number. Is that no coronavirus cases out of hundreds of tests run, or no cases just out of a few? Governor Greg Abbott initially told local officials on March 12th that there was plenty of COVID-19 testing capacity, that testing supplies were very adequate, and that the supply far exceeds the demand. John Hellerstedt, commissioner of the Texas Department of Health Services, likewise told Texans that the testing process was pretty efficient. But as Texas struggles to ramp up testing, those projections seem overly optimistic. In a letter to President Donald Trump on Monday, Abbott said Texas was running low on supplies and stressed that the resources of the federal government are needed. In the meantime, local officials are relying on more low-tech measures, like shutting down events and encouraging people to stay in. Ideally, we'd like to test every person who has symptoms, said Dr. Ray. It's just not physically feasible to do that. Still, as long as Big Bend residents stay inside and take other precautions to flatten the curve of new infections, he's optimistic the region can prepare for the worst. And for anyone with minor symptoms who wonders about their coronavirus status, he proposed a kind of ad hoc test. If you have a fever and a cough and you just got back from Seattle, he said, you probably have coronavirus. That was more or less what the Foleys heard from their doctor. The advice was to assume you have it, said Dennis's wife, Rosalind Stanford. The couple is now about halfway through their self-quarantine and aren't certain whether they have coronavirus. They may never be. Dennis says his symptoms are abating, but Stanford disputes this. For the Foleys, the lack of testing has left them wondering about their own health. We have 4 grandchildren in Colorado, Stanford said. We always expect to come home sick, but as coronavirus spreads, the couple can no longer assume their symptoms are just from a common cold. A few days ago, Rosalind came down with a fever too.
Thank you for joining us for this week's edition of Far West Texans. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.